This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Yeah, buddy, welcome in. It's the Tuesday edition of Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, and I'll be with you all night long from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. You can always catch the show on Sirius XM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the Visa Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. We have a lot to get to over the course of the next 3 hours as we shift gears, putting college basketball in the rear view, but plenty to discuss today on the show, including a pretty good day in baseball for us that we'll break down later. We'll look ahead to the card coming up for Wednesday. A little three up, three down with who's hot, who's not coming in to all of those matchups. We're also all over the NBA, which I know you're all very excited about the end of the regular season. And we'll do a little something on the Masters as that is quickly approaching on Thursday. And we have a fun contest here on VSiN where I have some guys that I'm looking to target, but I'll never pretend to be the sharpest golf bettor in the world. In fact, I am probably the worst golf bettor in the world, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to bet the Masters. That's the beauty of these big events. Before we get to all of that here on the show, including 15 minutes from now, former big league all-star, gold glover, Brett Boone's going to join us to break down everything happening in Major League Baseball. We've got an NBA game that's about to tip off here as late night action features the Suns hosting the Rockets. This number slightly on the move in the Rockets' favor, up to -1.5. Total in the game is 222 and a hook here. As we enter this game, Houston is riding a 6-game winning streak. The Suns have lost 8 of 12. Houston just 12-20 against the spread as a road favorite this year. 19-13 to the over as a road favorite. Complete opposite trends on the other side with these Suns. 12-5 against the spread as a home dog. 12-5 to the under as a home underdog as well for Phoenix coming into this game. I would lean catching the 1.5 with Phoenix. I would lean over, actually, on 222.5, even though these are two under teams. You think about the defense, the style of play. But Houston on the road, more of an over team, and I think Phoenix would be forced to play their style here. But instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to channel the Undertaker. I'm going to hit you with a little boom, eyes in the back of the head. I don't remember what the Undertaker does up. It's been a while since I cared about wrestling. But I'm going 3 unders on player props because I got to tell you, the overs are getting mutilated today for me. I am 0-for-2 in overs. I'm sorry, 1-2 with overs today. So here are the 3 unders we're going to hit. We're looking at Reed Sheppard, under 20.5 PRA. He's technically a shooting guard, but I believe he's in the starting lineup to be more of a point guard as well to share that burden with Amen Thompson. But the problem is, because Amen Thompson's going to do some facilitating, because Şengün does plenty of passing out of the 5 spot, I think that Reed Sheppard's not really going to contribute with the assist. But his assist prop was a little bit too low. So instead, I'm going under 20.5 PRA. That's points, rebounds, plus assists. Phoenix allows the 4th fewest assists, the 5th fewest points per game to opposing point guards. I don't think Reed Sheppard's going to have a banner day here taking on the Phoenix Suns on the road. Jordan Goodwin, we're going under 14.5 PRA. Houston allows the 10th fewest points per game, 3rd fewest rebounds, 5th assists to small forwards. I just think there's a lot of mouths to feed there for the Phoenix Suns. I'm not sure he's really going to be worked in a ton. He also doesn't play a ton of minutes. So if he's not efficient and it's a bad matchup for him against Houston and their wings, I don't think he's going to have a very good day. And then finally, Dylan Brooks, under 21.5 PRA. His rebounds and assists, they were both very low. In fact, we couldn't go under on the 1.5 assists. That wasn't an option at the sportsbook I was looking at. So instead, I'm combining it all. And I think this is mostly a Devin Booker game and some other guys doing the scoring. And Dylan Brooks, really, all he is right now is a scorer. He doesn't contribute much in terms of rebounds and assists. So we're going under 21.5 PRA because Houston, against power forwards, 3rd fewest points, 2nd fewest rebounds, and 3rd fewest assists. Here's the goal. When we bet 3 props in one game, we want to go 2 out of 3. That is the objective. That was a sneeze. My apologies. Couldn't control it. Isn't that weird that, like, your body can do this? Like, you're holding a fart the whole show. I can't hold in a sneeze in 10 seconds. How does that make any sense? I digress. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, who gave you that little tidbit there of science. This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. So those are the 3 plays. They're up at VSiN.com/picks, where you can see picks from this show and every other show on the network. We do have games currently going on. Let's get you situated on where we stand. Currently, the Kings and Warriors going at it as hard as they can in Golden State. 66-51, the Warriors with the lead. And Steph Curry on a minutes restriction. Just want to check in and see how he's doing in that game. So they're up by 12. as Curry off the bench, 14 points in 12 minutes, three rebounds for him. We are on Devin Carter over on his 16.5 points. He has 6 points in 13 minutes of action. There's a chance that could get there, but I'm not going to hold my breath here. The next game to update you on, it's the Thunder at the Lakers, and it's really not the Lakers. It's the Lakers without LeBron, who was ruled out, and obviously Austin Reeves and Luka Doncic were not going to play for the rest of the regular season. OKC has the lead 34-27. Would have been a good spot if the Lakers were fully healthy to look at SGA over on his assists, but I just don't know how much he's going to play. He does have 5 dimes in just the first quarter, so maybe I should have made that bet. SGA 11 points in 12 minutes with 5 assists. We're on a couple plays here. We looked at Luke Kennard over his PRA. That is at 25.5. And I know he just had a triple-double, but I'm really not sure who else is going to do a lot of the legwork today for the Lakers. So I bet him at 30-1, half a unit, triple-double. Let's see if we can mess around and find out and have some fun with Luke Kennard really being the main facilitator, maybe even the main scorer. Although Drew Timmy, Gonzaga legend, leading the way with 10 points to start the first quarter for the Lakers, who are down at home 34-27 to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Right now in the betting market, OKC is laying 19.5. Total is 229.5. And the Lakers, who were 18.5 point home dogs earlier today, that is the biggest underdog the Lakers have been in a game since at least 1990. So a little history there for the Lakers and the Thunder. You got the Clippers up on the Mavericks, 39-26. That game's in the first quarter. LA is laying 16.5 in game, and your total right now is 235.5, just dropped down from 236, and a hook. Over in Major League Baseball, a couple late night games. We're sweating out plays in both of them, and both look pretty solid as of right now. The Atlanta Braves up on the Angels 4-2. Atlanta's a minus 392 favorite in game in the fifth inning. The Angels plus 272 the other way. Your in game total is 9.5. We have Atlanta minus 140 back in Ronaldo Lopez, and honestly, it did not look very good, but we did get some help from that lefty split lineup for the Atlanta Braves today as Eli White comes through, and he's driven in runs for Atlanta as they lead 4-2 in the bottom of the fifth inning. And you like when you have a lead against the Angels because it's a bullpen that I just don't like. So I anticipate Atlanta being able to tack on some more once Kikuchi is out of this game. Kikuchi, 5 innings, 6 hits, 4 earned, 8 strikeouts. And on the other side, Ronaldo Lopez, 4 innings, 3 hits, 2 runs, none of them earned, and 5 strikeouts for him on 65 pitches in 4 innings of work. Eli White, as I mentioned, 2 ribbies in the game. Jonah Heim, the addition from Texas, the backup catcher, has driven in a run, 1-for-2 on the day as Drake Baldwin continues to hit. He is 1-for-3, and his batting average is up to .319. The other late game is the Phillies at the Giants. And I got to tell you, I think I'm going to be on a lot of Giants unders, especially if they're facing a good pitcher and they have someone else going on their side that I believe in, mainly Logan Webb and tonight's starter, Robbie Ray. As it's 1-0 Giants in the bottom of the fifth inning, there's 2 outs and a runner on second base. Chris Sanchez on the hill on the other side for the fighting Phils. So far, he's gone 4 2/3. He's allowed 7 hits, but only 1 earned run and 5 strikeouts for Chris Sanchez, who's right up there as one of the favorites for the National League Cy Young Award. On the other side, you got Robbie Ray. 5 innings completed, 2 hits, no earned runs, 1 walk and 5 strikeouts on 73 pitches. When Robbie Ray's healthy, man, he's a pretty solid pitcher. Matt Chapman's 2-for-2 in this game. Luis Arraez has driven in a run. And Willy Adames, 2-for-3 as well with a run scored for the San Francisco Giants. That top of the order doing a little bit of work here against Sanchez. But it's a 1-0 game. We're on the under 7 on the full game between those two teams. As I look up, it looks like there may be some runs coming home, unless that's a replay. Looks like a double to left field. And that might have been Chapman again. I think Chapman just hit a double, unless my bug right here is ahead. Let me double check because I just saw him rope one. Nope, that was live. 2-0 Giants now with the lead as Matt Chapman with a hard line drive double over the head of the left fielder. And he's standing on second base with a chance to drive in even more. We don't love that with our underplay. So we need them to get this together, the Philadelphia Phillies, and get out of this inning because there's 2 outs. 2 out runs, man, that'll kill you. That always hurts. As Sanchez is trying to work out of trouble, he's up to 75 pitches. I wonder what the leash is on him, if San Francisco can put the ball in play a little bit, if he's going to come back out for the sixth inning for the Phillies here. So that is a 3-for-3 day for Matt Chapman, who's been awfully talkative lately. don't know if you guys saw it, called out one of his teammates, Casey Schmidt, for not catching the ball. Then he had an issue trying to steal a base late in the game against the Mets. And got thrown out at second base when really his run didn't matter. I think it was a three-run game, so there was no point of him stealing in that moment. Well, he's putting the bat on the ball. He's hitting .311 on the year early in the season, 3-for-3 today with a ribby for San Francisco. So that's where we stand with the live action currently going on across all the sports. We await the tip-off with the Rockets and the Suns right now, and we are on those three unders. We are on under on Shepard PRA, Goodwin PRA, and Brooks PRA. The NBA and NHL playoffs are almost here, and VSiN has free tools to help you bet smarter right now. There's no subscription needed either. All you have to do is head to VSiN.com, get free betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, plus free MLB and NBA prop projections. It's all available to you today, no sign-up required. And if you want everything VSiN has to offer, that's the daily best bets, the prop analysis, 24/7 video and show replays, well, you can try VSiN Pro for just $9.99 for your first 30 days, or save 50% with an annual subscription. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We've got everything covered over the course of the next 3 hours here on the show. Coming up in about 20 minutes, Zach Cohen will be all over the NBA. He hosts Hardwood Handicappers, our NBA betting podcast. I will get his thoughts on the end of the regular season and maybe some thoughts on how things are going to shake out once we get to the postseason. Michael Fiddle, NBA handicapper with strategy at the top of the next hour in betting the NBA. Vlad Sedler on the Wednesday card of Major League Baseball, finding the best bets and best guys to back. And then Eric Cohen on the Masters from Sportsline in our final hour on the show. But when we return, Brett Boone, former big league all-star, breaks down everything happening across the sport on the other side of Cashing Out.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We got a little brouhaha happening down in Anaheim. Welcome back into Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. It's VSiN, the sports betting network. You know, we're updating you on the live action across the board here. Ronaldo Lopez and Jorge Soler, two former teammates with the Braves, they're throwing fists at each other right now. That was crazy. There was like a delay in the action. I guess they were reviewing something. And Ronaldo Lopez, a pitcher, you can't, when Atlanta's had a million pitching injuries this year, you can't be using your right arm to, you got to do the Graham Lloyd and cover one arm and swing with the other. So that's where we stand right now with Major League Baseball. I'll keep you posted on the live action once we get back to playing the game. But that was crazy coming back from break. All right. I'm fired up for this next conversation because I loved watching this guy play. He does an awesome job with his podcast, the Brett Boone Podcast. Get it wherever you get your podcast, part of the Odyssey Network of podcasts. And 14 years in the bigs, three-time All-Star, four-time Gold Glover, over 250 home runs, hitting coach with Texas last year, and in my opinion, the best bat flip I've ever seen in my life, especially for a right-handed hitter. He is Brett Boone, and he joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. I didn't lie about anything there. It was the best bat flip, and I think it's hard for righties to make that look good, Brett.
Well, I'll tell you, usually as time goes on, the farther and farther you get away from when you retire, you tend, life kind of comes your way and it humbles you and you think a little bit differently than when you were in your heyday hitting homers. But I'll tell you what, I watched the bat flips. Yeah. These guys don't know how to do it. And I told the guys last year in Texas, I said, you have no idea how to bat flip. I said, your bat flips in today, 2026, they're all premeditated. They're hit the home run, throw the bat as far as I can with some anger. I said, it's got to be one motion. You got to hit it. No, I got it. Let it go. And it moves on as you're going to first base. The best I've ever seen. And you prefaced it perfect. You said for a right-hander, because lefty's got it way easier. The Griffey, it wasn't a bat flip, but it was just that swing where it was just the follow through. And sorry about that upper deck. So, yeah, it's a little more challenging for I've got to give credit where credit's due, though. I kind of got the idea, because I didn't do it the first half of my career. And I kind of got the idea from Dante Bichette. So go back into the archives and check out some of his. I really like that one. Because he'd hit it, and then he'd uncoil, and he'd do something with his hands, and he'd get moving.
I love that.
Was it the Bombers?
Something Street Bombers.
Blake Street Bombers.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, and Griffey, you're right. It was built into his swing. It was kind of like a mic drop with his swing more than it was a bat flip for what Griffey got to do.
Right. When you have Griffey's swing, you know, there's a reason. Still to this day, we're talking about the prettiest swings of all time. Griffey's always right there. He's the headliner. So he's kind of the North Star of pretty swings. Once again, being a lefty, you got an advantage. Everything's prettier left-handed.
Yeah, it's crazy. When they exist in the world around us, Brett, lefties have a disadvantage. But when it comes to baseball, like, I can tell you this. When I have children, if I am blessed with a boy, he will be throwing right-handed. He will be hitting left-handed. That's the only decisions I'm making in his life that he can't change, that he has to hit left-handed, because I do think they have it easier.
There's only a few Ricky Hendersons, first-ballot Hall of Famers, that throw left, hit right.
But that's true.
He kind of overcompensated for it.
That's true. We're chatting with the great Brett Boone, 14 years in the big leagues. I want to get your thoughts on some of these teams right now, as I think the season's off to a really good start. Sometimes you don't know if Major League Baseball is capable of capitalizing on this momentum. And I want to begin with a couple teams you're familiar with. Obviously, your brother Aaron is managing the Yankees. And I got to tell you, Brett, I am normally a Yankee hater, but I'm way into this team this year. Gerrit Cole hasn't thrown a pitch. Carlos Rodon hasn't thrown a pitch. And I think that they're just scary. The lineup is great, but the pitching. Schlitler again with a bunch of strikeouts today. Luis Gil is still in the minors for them. What do you think big picture about the Yankees, who are the favorites to win the American League right now?
Well, I think, it is so early, and there's a lot of hitters scuffling right now. You know, we're week 10 days in. That happens. There's been some real cold weather on the East Coast. That always adds to it. Usually the bats heat up when we get into May. But when I always think about the big leagues right now, first on the list is the Dodgers because of the depth they have. But I'm looking at this Yankee rotation. I knew they were going to be good. I know going into the season, that's a playoff team. They've got out of the gates great. I think they won again tonight. They're 8-2 now. I worried going into it. It's like Rodon went down, Cole, who missed last year, Schmidt, he's not going to be back for a couple months. And you mentioned Heal, who's in the minor leagues with him. So going opening day, you got Weathers that came over in a trade this offseason. And he's been so far, I think he's pretty good. Will Warren's going to be at the end of that rotation. But the top two you mentioned, Fried, for me, there's a couple lefties. You know, you go with the Scoobles, the Crochets. Now I think Sanchez from Philly is in that discussion as the top lefty in all the game. But I put Max Fried right there. I love Max Fried when he was in Atlanta. I think he's exceeded expectations in a Yankee uniform. He takes the ball every fifth day. He's been durable. I think he's an elite lefty. And the Schlitler guy, you see what he did last year, electric stuff. But I need to see a little bit more. I've been around this game a little too long to just, okay, that was nice what you did at the end of last year. But let's see how it's carried forward. He hasn't missed a beat. I don't think he walked anybody his first two outings. I don't know that he gave up a run. But if he's proven more and more that he's the real deal. So you got Fried and Schlitler at the top of that rotation. Like you said, with a Cole, Rodon, a Schmidt, possibly Heal in the wing. So I think it could be a real good rotation. I love the lineup because they, better than anybody else in baseball, they see so many pitches. They wear down starting pitchers, and that's their whole bag on the hitting side of things, is really controlling the strike zone. They do it as good as anybody. If there's a question mark, it's got to be in their bullpen. You know, it's got to be in their bullpen, and 162 games, that will play out. But, I mean, top to bottom, they're pretty darn solid. Some guys in their division off to a slow start. You know, Tampa Bay's always a thorn in your side. They turn over. Every year they have a big turnover. Every year they're knocking at the door come playoff time. The Boston Red Sox a year ago, 189 games. I thought they improved themselves this offseason. They're off to a real slow start, but I expect them before it's all said and done. Orioles, I'm not buying in on.
Ooh.
I'm just not. They've upgraded. I don't know. I just don't see it. Yeah, I love Rodgers at the top of that rotation. And then who do you got? You got Bradish, Baz.
Yeah.
Bassett's off to a real slow start. Holiday's on the IL. A lot of things have to happen. Alonso goes over there. Yeah, that should add 30 home runs to that lineup. Gunnar Henderson's got to be the Gunnar Henderson they expect. And the kid behind the plate, Rutschman. I mean, last year had a real down year. We got to see if is Rutschman the guy we saw in the All-Star game in 23 in Seattle winning the home run derby, or is he, you know, is he going to be kind of more of a guy like last year? So I'm not buying the Orioles. I think they're an okay team. I think they're improved, but I don't think they threaten in that division. I think it's the Yankees. I think it's Boston. And I never, ever count out Tampa Bay. They're just always there. Blue Jays off to a slow start, had a lot of magic last year. See if they can catch that again. Scherzer went down early. Love yep. Gausman at the top of that rotation, but should be a great division. I think it comes down to Boston and the Yankees, both playoff teams.
And Toronto dealing with a bunch of injuries. We're chatting with the great Brett Boone, 14 years in the majors, three-time All-Star. Also the podcast, the Brett Boone podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Before we let you go here, and about
Brett Michaels tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Poison tomorrow. It's a big one. Yeah, big baseball fan.
Poison and Rock of Love. I used to watch that on VH1.
I'm done plugging.
Hey, I'm a big fan. Before I let you go, Seattle, obviously spent a lot of time most of your career with the Mariners. They're off to a slow start. Tough loss today, 4-8 now on the year. They lost 3-2 to the Rangers. Do you believe there's enough offense there with some of the moves they made in the offseason?
Well, I think you lose Suarez from third base. That's 49 homers combined last year for Suarez. But you replaced him this year with Donovan, came over from the Cardinals. He's been the biggest plus on the offensive side. You look at that team right now. You've got Julio, who every year we're looking, hey, when are you going to have that breakout and win that MVP? You got Cal Raleigh coming off 60 homers. Now, it's not fair to say he's going to hit 60 again, but I expect Cal Raleigh to be back to his 30 home runs. He's a huge presence in that clubhouse, handles the pitching staff. A Rosarena, Naylor, all off to horrible starts. I think they're all hitting under 200 to start the season. They haven't been scoring runs. They just lost to Texas tonight. I think they're 4-8 now. Last year with the Rangers, when I went through Seattle late in September, to me, they were the best team in the American League. So I had, coming out of spring training, I had them on my board. You know, I knew the Yankees are going to be postseason team, especially guys in the East there. But I had Seattle above everybody ranked, and they've just got off to a real dismal start because you just can't get away from that pitching. Gilbert, Kirby, Wu, Castillo, the Hancock kid's been filling in for Miller. Miller might be as good as any of them. He's on the IL. But Hancock, who's been kind of their sixth starter the last couple of years, he's pitched tremendous. It's like maybe he's finally figured it out. He's been great in his two outings. So one thing about pitching is it never goes away. They're as talented as anybody top to bottom in that rotation. And then you got a Munoz and a Brash at the end of that bullpen. I still think Seattle's going to be really tough this year.
All right, Brett, that was awesome. Would love to do it again soon. Check out the Brett Boone podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And I completely agree. Over 162, Mariners are going to be fine. Thanks for joining us tonight, man.
Absolutely. You got it, guys. Thank you.
All right, we'll hit the NBA. How do we handle the end of the year? We'll discuss it next.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A little leadoff single for the Bravos, who lead the Angels 4-2 in the sixth inning. Welcome back into Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. You're listening to VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We've got live action across the board in every sport going on right now. Major League Baseball, I mentioned the Braves lead 4-2. You've got the Giants in the sixth inning on top of the Phillies, 3-0. And then over in the NBA, the late night sweats are totally on. Warriors in the third quarter with 8-10 to go on top of the Kings, 72-61. The Mavericks and Clippers has LA up by 53-47. And in Los Angeles, OKC against the LeBron, Reeves, and Luka-less Lakers on top, 51-44. All those spreads in game, double digits. The one under double digits is the late night action. The Suns on top of the Rockets, 28-11. They're laying 8.5 Phoenix. Total is 221.5. To help us make sense of this time of year in the NBA, we are going out to the Progressive Guest Line and welcome in Zachary Cohen. He is not only VSiN senior editor, but he's also the host of Hardwood Handicappers, our NBA podcast, and on X, at Betting on X. And Zach joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. So, Zach, talk to me. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much fun are you having betting the NBA day in and day out right now?
It's tough. I got to go with like a 6 because I still love, you know, watching basketball, but like I feel like I'm usually at a 9 or a 10. So that is a very low number for me.
Yeah, it's tough, man. You know, we both like to look for the player props. We like to look for these opportunities, and there really isn't a rhyme or reason. You want to go over, it'll go under. You want to go under, it'll go over. But we still have plenty to look at as far as the card is concerned for tomorrow. But I want to get your thoughts on the Rookie of the Year market because this has been a big talking point, and we've seen this thing flip around. I mean, as of a week ago, Colin Knoeppel was like minus $2 to win the Rookie of the Year. Now Cooper Flagg, because of a couple monster performances, is down to minus 290. Knoeppel is plus 225. I didn't even look what Cooper Flagg did tonight, but I imagine that's playing a role in this as right now the Mavericks are in the second quarter against the Clippers, and Cooper Flagg has 13-5, so trending positively for Flagg. I kind of am in the camp that Flagg's the Rookie of the Year. I know a lot of people disagree with me. Why am I wrong, Zach?
All right, well, I will say I do think Flagg is the best rookie. I think that he's going to be the best player by far when we look ahead 10 years. I think he's going to have, like, an unbelievable career. I just think that what Knoeppel has done this season has just been better than Flagg's, point blank. I know that this last, you know, week of basketball has been just dominant from Flagg, and it's going to be another game tonight where he has like 30 plus. He's already on his way to doing so. But you look at some of the stuff that's been happening in April basketball, and I mentioned it the other day, Ryan Rupert is like a 33-10-10 triple double. Tonight you had like 4 Pelicans guards combined for like 120 points. It's just a disgusting time of year for the NBA. Nobody's playing defense anymore, at least not on the teams that have something to play for. So I just don't really understand why we're letting a few big, you know, Flagg performances get in the way of a season long, you know, debate that has really gone Knoeppel's way. If you look at like the traditional numbers between these two, the scoring is about the same, but the percentages favor Knoeppel in a big way. And the advanced numbers, they aren't even close. Like, Knoeppel's been one of the best players in the league. He's been the best shooter in the entire NBA. And he's been doing it for a Hornets team that is a playoff team. So I just feel like there's been way more of an impact from Knoeppel and way more efficiency. So I have a really hard time believing that Flagg is going to find a way to steal this, but it definitely does look like it's trending that way based on the way the numbers are moving.
You know what? I wasn't ready to budge from my position, but I tell you, the first thing you hit me with was the best argument I heard, which is that he's playing teams that don't care. So why are we factoring in some of these statistics when it's empty calories? Like, this stuff doesn't matter right now for this guy on this team going nowhere, and he's just playing against teams that are just letting him have the basket. Zach Cohen is our guest. Hardwood Handicappers is the podcast. VSiN senior editor at Betting on X. You can find him on X. All right, well, let's start looking ahead to the card coming up here on Wednesday, Zach, where we've got a few interesting games. Orlando laying 5.5 against Minnesota. Totals 226.5. Now, we're a long way from tip-off, so players could be ruled out, could be ruled in. What are your expectations for this game?
I really like the Magic. I think that Orlando, I wouldn't say that they're playing well, but they're not playing terribly, and I feel like that's good enough when they're playing at home against a Minnesota team that is currently without both Jaden McDaniels and Anthony Edwards. You're missing your best wing defender on defense. You're missing your best scorer and one of the best scorers on the planet in Edwards on offense. And overall, it's been a disappointing team throughout the course of the entire season. This Timberwolves team has been one of the toughest teams to trust on a night-by-night basis. And it's not like Orlando isn't playing for anything right now. There is very little that separates the teams like 6 through 9 in the Eastern Conference. There's still a chance for the Magic to move their way up in the standings. So I would expect Orlando to go out there and kind of step on Minnesota's throat. And I do think that this Magic team, like, if you're just kind of thinking about what's best for like the NBA fan in the postseason, I think we want to see them in at least over the two teams that met in Toronto tonight. You do not want to see the Heat or the Raptors in the playoffs.
No, I think it's a good call. How about this situation with Victor Wembanyama, where I wonder if some of these MVP tickets are about to go up in flames. I mean, it was always going to be hard pressed to catch SGA, even though I wanted him to do so, as he's now dealing with an injury. And it looks like he is doubtful for the Wednesday game against the Trailblazers with a rib contusion. That number with San Antonio at home is 3.5, hosting a feisty Portland team. Totals 234.5. How big of an impact is No Wemby for you considering betting on this game?
Yeah, I mean, the Spurs have played really well without Wemby over the last couple of games, even covering against the Sixers the other night when he didn't play. But I do think the Blazers would be the side with no Wemby, and it does seem like Wemby is going to be out for this game. It looks like the reporting early on is that he's going to miss this game, but they're confident he's going to play one of the final games. So they're trying to get him eligible for these awards. But I did mention last Friday on Hardwood Handicappers when they sat him out for the second leg of a back-to-back, I did not like that decision when it is so close to him being ineligible for those awards that I said, like, maybe it's worth throwing something on Chet Holmgren to win Defensive Player of the Year, just because if he does not play 65 games, Holmgren's going to end up being the winner. So I don't know what's going to happen these final few games. Wemby is a weird kind of body. Like, we don't really know like what to make of this guy. He's an alien. And I just don't know how he's going to recover from a rib contusion. It doesn't seem very serious, but you never really know. And he does have to play at least 20 minutes in one of those games. So it's not like you can just step on the floor and get off the court. If he goes out there, he gets banged up again, something happens, you're probably looking at Chet Holmgren winning Defensive Player of the Year. So there's a lot at stake for the Spurs, but I do like Portland in that game, just because I think if you look at since the All-Star break, this Blazers team has been top five in the league defensively. They have found something really good in playing Scoot with Jrue Holiday. And just overall, I really like what they have in their starting five in terms of defensive players. And Donovan Klingon has been a player that I just have been singing his praises all season long. Feels like he's really starting to look like one of the best players in that draft class. And with no Wemby on the floor, I could see him dominating around the basket.
Yeah, I love this Portland team. I'm totally with you. And by the way, on Wemby, you know, easy for him to get a rib contusion with his body. With me, it's a little bit harder to get in there. I want to remind my doctor the next time he complains about my BMI. He's Zach Cohen, host of Hardwood Handicappers. Get it wherever you get your podcasts and read them over at VSiN.com as well. Before I let you go, Atlanta and Cleveland should be a pretty good game on Wednesday. Cavs a slight favorite at -1.5. Total is 236.5. Feel like the vibes are opposite in this one. Atlanta, I think, feels a little bit better. Cleveland doesn't feel as good as they have recently. What do you make of this matchup?
Yeah, well, I really need the Hawks to win. I need the Hawks to win one of these final few games because I do have them to win the Southeast Division. I do like Orlando tomorrow night. That is a game that would make things a little bit tighter in the division, but it is going to be a really good game. There's just a lot of uncertainty when looking at the injury report for Cleveland. So if you had to play something right now, I probably would take the Hawks, but I would wait because Donovan Mitchell, Jalen Tyson, Dean Wade, all questionable for Cleveland. And I do think that the Cavaliers would find a way to win this game and win it somewhat convincingly if they are completely healthy. I think that Cleveland is just a team that needs some time on the floor together. Obviously, they're not going to have much of it before the end of the season, but I do think this is kind of a preview of what we might see in the postseason. So I think both teams will take it somewhat seriously, but this Cavaliers team, I just think, has a little bit too much firepower for the Hawks. I feel like this Atlanta team has been awesome since the All-Star break. Like, the record speaks for itself. Defensively, they've been a top three team in the league, but we've seen them go out and play very good teams and they've lost those games, whether it was like the road stomping at the hands of the Rockets or the home loss to the Knicks the other night. I feel like this team is beating up on bad competition and not rising to the occasion against elite competition.
No, it's a great point. I totally agree. He's Zach Cohen. Read him over at VSiN.com. Articles covering a lot of ground, as well as the Hardwood Handicappers podcast, wherever you get your podcast. Thanks, as always, for doing this, my friend. We'll chat next week.
Thank you.
Baseball every day, NBA, the NHL playoffs, they're coming soon. The Sharp Plays, they cover it all. And they've been winning for 15 straight years. All of it documented. Logs posted publicly at sharpplays.com. That kind of transparency is rare in this industry. When the Sharp Plays moves, the sports books take notice. Advanced AI, trusted insider intel, they find the value before the numbers shift. Respected, watched, feared. Start winning with them at sharpplays.com today. Cashing out on VSiN, the sports betting network. Dustin Sweetelson here at the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. You there listening, SiriusXM channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. While we're chatting with Zach, it looks like the Giants plated another run. San Francisco up on the Phillies 4-0 in the seventh inning. Philly is at the plate. Robbie Ray still on the hill. Good for him. Robbie Ray's gone six strong, three hits, shutout baseball, six strikeouts for him with just two walks. We'll see how deep he goes in the game as he is at 95 pitches. I'll walk you through the end of the action in Major League Baseball, the NBA, and when we return, we'll look at some of the top trends coming out of both sports on Cashing Out.
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming at you from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas, Dustin Sweetelson with you all night long. Sirius XM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. San Francisco, Robbie Ray battling on the mound for the Giants today. Really good performance against the Philadelphia Phillies. 4-0 is the score. We're in the top of the seventh inning. There's a runner on first base, and he's trying to get out of this jam with two outs here as he's thrown 6 2/3, three-hit baseball, scoreless, with 7 strikeouts. And did he just get that call? I can't tell. Is that a full count or no? He walked him. So he just walked two runners on. Let's see. Tony Vitello, much maligned first-year manager from Tennessee, and things have not been going well for the Giants to start the year. Just 3-8, but really no offense. And they just don't look like a cohesive team. I mean, that's going to happen when you have a lot of changes here. And it looks like Robbie Ray's day is done. The question is, do you trust the Giants' bullpen? Because currently, you can get 10-1 on Philly to come back and win this thing. Now, there's two outs. So depending on the matchup here, you're going to need a couple of hits. You're going to need a home run. Not sure the ball is flying out of that ballpark right now. That's why the total was low at 7 pregame. We were on the under, so we'd prefer there not to be runs. I don't hate the idea of Philly at 10-1 right now in game. If there wasn't two outs, if there was just one out, I'd probably be more inclined to do it. But as of right now, I'll wait on the sidelines. I'll watch how this thing shakes out in the end. The other late night baseball game currently going on, the Braves on top of the Angels 4-2. And it looks like an unorthodox double play, maybe, or a runner was gunned down at third for the Angels, which is just kind of unacceptable. When you're down by two, I like the idea of being aggressive, but you can't make the last out of an inning at third base when you're trailing by two because you could have just stayed at second. And anything, a bloop, a bleeder, something falls in there, you can still score. You're in scoring position. So that's a bad move. I believe that was Josh Lau, the outfielder they acquired from Tampa Bay, who tried to go to third base and was gunned down, I think, by Matt Olson on that play. So we go into the top of, I want to say the seventh or the sixth. Where are we at? We're at the top of the seventh inning and the Braves lead 4-2. We're sweating out the Braves minus 140 on the money line. Right now that number is minus 405. If we wanted to, we could take the Angels plus 1.5 at plus 134 on the money line at plus 262. As far as the NBA, a couple late night games, or I should say four late night games going on. Warriors on top of the Kings, 80-70. That game in the third quarter, 3:28 remaining there in the third. Warriors laying 13.5, totals 220 and a hook. Want to check in on our plays. That's what's important to me. I'm sorry, you're just along for the ride. We're trying to win bets here. That is the objective. And we're not going to win this one. Devin Carter, we went over 16.5 points. It's always in the late editions, right? The stuff that's early that usually ends up in Bill's newsletter that he sends out with all the picks at a glance, those seem to be doing well. It's late in the day when I start thinking and the wheels are turning, and apparently these wheels are need to be greased a little bit because I added Devin Carter late over on his points at 16.5. He's got 6 in the third, although maybe he plays that fourth quarter and goes absolutely crazy. The other game going on right now I want to update you on is the Clippers up on the Mavericks, 65-55. We are on Cooper Flagg watch because he is now a minus 220 favorite for the NBA Rookie of the Year. And Cooper Flagg right now in this game, 15.7 rebounds, 1 assist. We are at halftime. It's a 10-point game. I imagine a lot of shooting coming from Cooper Flagg the rest of the way. We also have some other games, including the Thunder, now stretching their lead over the Lakers, 65-47. That game is at halftime. We're on Luke Kennard over his PRA. And then Phoenix Suns leading the Rockets, 37-21. That game's in the second quarter. Phoenix is laying 7.5 in-game. Total is 224.5. And Phoenix is a good starting point. As we do a little rank and file here, we see where these teams rank according to the trends out there, and we file this information away for our later bets. And the Suns appear here as the top NBA teams against the spread this season. And that's mostly because the market completely undervalued them, and why wouldn't they? They got rid of Kevin Durant. They moved on from Bradley Beal. This felt like a rebuild with Jordan Ott coming in as the head coach, and no one knew what to expect out of them. Well, here's Phoenix, third in the league ATS. Charlotte's number one at 50-29. Boston's 46-32, tied with Phoenix there. And Phoenix, more specifically at home, 23-16 against the spread. Where are they playing tonight against Houston? At home. They were a slight dog of about 1.5 when we looked at it pregame. And it's now them laying 7.5. This is what they do. They're a very good home team. Who are they facing? The Rockets. The Rockets, on the other end, are not very good against the spread. They are 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth worst at 33-45 against the spread. And the Rockets specifically on the road are not good. Or as a favorite are not good, I should say. 26-41 against the spread this year as a favorite are the Houston Rockets. Now back to the top NBA against the spread teams. In terms of being a favorite, how about the Brooklyn Nets? Only been a favorite seven times. They've covered in six of those games, 6-1 against the spread. New Orleans as a favorite, 13-4 against the spread. You also have them at home, the Pelicans, 26-14-1 against the spread. What did New Orleans do tonight? In case you missed it, it's kind of one of the crazy scores you're going to see. Portland beat the Jazz, where they were favorites, and they were at home, so both those got home, 156-137. Jeremiah Fears had 46-3. I don't know why, but New Orleans rested everybody. And I originally had a play on Sadiq Bey to go over his PRA. He didn't play in the game, so that's a push. But I went and looked after everyone was ruled out and said, you know what, I think I'm going to bet Jeremy Fears. What's his PRA? It was 36.5. I mean, that would have been a career day for him. Guess what he had? Just in points alone, because someone's got to put the ball in the basket for the Pelicans. The Lakers, who right now are trailing as home dogs, record-setting dogs over double digits to the Thunder. As a favorite this year, they're 30-18. Detroit as an underdog, 12-2 against the spread. Denver as an underdog, 16-6 against the spread. And then your best home teams, New York, 24-13 as a home team. Portland, 24-15 at home. Phoenix, as we mentioned, 23-16 at home. And on the road, Charlotte's 24-16 on the road. And Boston, 26-14 on the road, as Boston wins and covers at home against Charlotte earlier tonight in the action. Here are your worst teams against the spread this year. Cleveland is the worst at 31-48, and that's about market perception. They were expected to be a lot better than they were early in the year. I still believe in this team. I still like them, even though the energy doesn't feel right. I'm buying into the old, they can turn it on when it matters in the postseason thing, which isn't always a thing that works out. In fact, I'd argue it very rarely ever works out, but I'm clinging on to it as we have Cleveland 6-1 to win the Eastern Conference. Sacramento, Washington, two bad teams. You can't set the number high enough. They're both 33-46, 33-45, covering the spread this year. Then you have Minnesota, 33-45, and the Rockets, 33-45 against the spread. We talked about the Knicks at home being great against the spread. Well, on the road, they're just 15-26. Minnesota as an underdog specifically, just 9-12. The Lakers, great as favorites, horrible as dogs, 13-7 against the spread this year. And then how about this for Philly? The 76ers are 18-22 against the spread at home, 24-15 on the road, which doesn't really make sense to me because on the road, I feel like that's when you rest your players, when you do the load management with Embiid and company. But apparently they're covering those numbers. So maybe the Sixers are a little bit deeper than people are giving them credit for. Your best over team in the NBA is Denver, followed by Golden State, Utah, Washington, Miami, and Orlando, which is crazy because they're supposed to be a defensive team. And then your best under teams, Boston, 50-28, Toronto, 48-30, Charlotte's 48-31, Phoenix after that, 44-34, Minnesota is 44-34, and San Antonio is 45-35 to the under in 2026. Now, some small sample size to look at Major League Baseball so far, but these are your most profitable teams so far in Major League Baseball. How about the Reds? 7-3. They are plus 482 in the money. 70% win rate for the Cincinnati Reds, who, by the way, did win again on Tuesday. We had them plus 113, thought it was going to die a slow death. They did not look good early on, but they came back one, forced extras. They're now 8-3 on the year, so even more profitable than that number. The Guardians, 6-5, they're plus 405, and this is why there's value in finding dogs. It's not easy, but if you identify dogs and you can be right, you don't have to be right as often because you're not laying a price here with that plus price, but easier said than done, man. I've tried to identify plenty of dogs this year. It's not gone well, and I've laid it with some heavy favorites who also have not gotten home for me. Milwaukee's 8-2. They're plus 380. Then the Yankees, plus 337 with a 7-2 record coming into today. The Angels at 6-5, they're profitable, plus 334. Even the Dodgers, 8-2. Think about that. 8-2, they're only up 159 on a $100 bet. So those are your most profitable teams. Here's the least profitable. No surprise, the Red Sox, you're losing money. 2-8 coming into today, minus $656 on a $100 bet. The Giants, 3-8. The Mariners, 4-7. The Blue Jays, 4-6, and so forth there. If you're laying prices with these teams, it is not going well early. It doesn't mean it's going to continue, but that's just how we stand after a couple weeks of action. Your best over team is the Astros, and I think that's a lot matchup dependent on who they've seen early in the year, and now a series in Colorado for them, although held only one run. 9-2 to the over. One run on Tuesday, I should say. 9-2 to the over for Houston. The Nats are 8-2 to the over, and that's because their pitching's not very good. The Rays, 7-2-1 to the over. Then the White Sox, Brewers, Phillies, and the Giants. And then after that, your best under teams. Braves, 8-3 to the under. That bottom of the lineup's not as good as people make it out to be for Atlanta. The Royals, 7-3 to the under, which is weird because it felt like at home with the ball, the fences moved in, the ball was flying out of Kauffman, but they are 7-3 to the under. The Rockies, 7-3 to the under. See, that's about market perception. The number hasn't matched how the ball's flying out of Coors Field yet. Then you have the Padres, Reds, and Guardians rounding out your best under teams in Major League Baseball so far. How do we strategize the end of the regular season in the NBA for betting? Well, handicapper Michael Fittle will explain it next on Cashing Out.